Are we living at a time in which Christ will return? Is it something we should even think about? We can hardly keep from thinking about it because so many people are talking about it. Don't take it seriously. And many reasons. One reason is only a handful of Jews have so far come to believe in Christ. Look at the billions of people have never even heard the name of Christ. No. We're going to last a long time. Last week, you mentioned how the Pope wants a Eucharistic Renaissance in the United States. Can you elaborate? What does he have planned? Well, one thing which he has planned is the forthcoming Catechism for the Catholic Church. By the way, that's the official name. Catechism. Catechism of the Catholic Church. This catechism, you'll be thrilled, all about the Eucharist, and very Catholic. So he's doing that. Also, as you know, the Holy Father strongly encourages Eucharistic, even perpetual exposition in the city of Rome, beginning with St. Peter's. That's why, though I didn't get paid by the Vatican, but I was, shall I say, summoned to the Vatican to do something about Eucharistic adoration. So, what do you have planned? Well, he's got CIA agents, see, planned in different parts, see, to promote devotion to the Holy Eucharist. Okay. Have you heard of Cardinal Hurley, and what are his duties? Cardinal Hurley. I can't. Is there a Cardinal Hurley? I know quite a few cardinals, but I don't know Cardinal Hurley, so I'm sorry. Can we assume that the doctrine of justification by faith alone has caused thousands to lose their souls? Well, it has cost millions to lose their faith. And God knows how many lost their souls. But remember, how we need to know our Catholic vocabulary. So justification by faith alone. There are two heresies locked up in that statement. The one heresy is covered by the word faith, and the other is covered by the word alone. And Luther coined the expression. When Luther taught justification by faith alone, he did not mean faith as we Catholics understand it. By the time he made this statement, and he made it early in his Protestant career, Luther already abandoned his Catholic faith. In other words, we believe that faith is the assent, A-S-S-E-N-T, of the mind to God's revealed truth. Faith, in Luther's vocabulary, is not the assent or acceptance by the mind of God's revealed truth. No. Faith is trust. Trust that you are one of the predestined. Now, Luther was the nuclear bomb that split what was by then, or till then, a united Catholic Europe. But then it took Calvin, John Calvin, the evil genius, to develop a theology out of what Luther had created. And then Calvin explained what this faith means. Faith does not mean the acceptance of revealed truth. Faith means that you trust, you are confident, you are one of the predestined. That's all Billy Graham's rally is about. That's all, you know, the Protestant ministers, that's their concentration. And the more Protestant they are, the more clear they are about this. That you're confident, no matter how much you've sinned, you have an emotional state of soul which you believe. That word believe does not mean, it just does not mean what we mean. It means the sense of assurance or trust or confidence that, yes, thank you, I am confident I am one of the saved. And I've talked to ex-Catholics who abandoned their Catholic faith. They tell me, I've never been more peaceful than since I became a Protestant. They have been drugged by this heresy. Am I clear? Once you believe, you convince yourself, I am one of the saved. I'm predestined. Then you go through certain motions. It's the predestined practice. Well, in the meantime, you can be steeped in sin. And this, by the way, is one of the big problems in our country. Those Catholics are being infected by this virus. This is why they don't go to confession. Why should I go to confession? Nothing bothers me. And that's why, you know what God does to wake people up? He sends them problems, difficulties, to wake them up. Gosh. And the second error is locked up in the word alone. All you need is that confidence. And you can believe anything. You can believe anything. And by now the Protestants do believe anything. Or nothing. And that's why, as I've said, this is Luther. His 54 published volumes. By the way, those are in English. He wrote more books than that. I think I told you. Out of, I see about six of Luther's books have never been even printed, still in manuscript, locked up in Germany. They're so blasphemously obscene. The sins that Martin Luther has Christ committing, I couldn't even repeat. That's Luther. Am I clear? You can reek of sin, but if you're confident you're one of the predestined, well, you'll be saved. Is not what a Catholic means by hope that which Protestant means by faith? Yes. Yes. Except the Protestant hope does not have a foundation. Foundation of hope is faith. I mean rational hope foundation. What's the Church's teaching on female altar servers? Well, if there's teaching of the Church is, they shouldn't be. And you know why, no question why. To get the youngster, the young girls, accustomed to, well, to the altar so that they in turn, well, will want to be ordained. They're planting the seeds of discord for the next generation. Does the church believe that an artificial feeding tube is an extraordinary measure to maintain life? No. And of course, see the word artificial. Well, that's always stressed. Artificial this and artificial that. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are people in high places even who say that. Of course, people who are destitute. And by the way, I keep repeating, most of the human race goes to bed hungry every night. The Americans are living in a dream world. There are people who don't even have enough for natural feeding, not to say artificial feeding. Is the married state of life less praiseworthy than the religious state? If yes, why? What is the view of the church on this issue? It depends on how you put it. The basic answer is yes. In other words, again, the Protestants during the 16th century, claiming as they did that celibacy is impossible to human nature. If God wants to work a miracle, well, that's up to him. So consequently, the church declared officially that a life of the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience is, whatever words you use, more praiseworthy, more holy, more precious to God. Why? Because it demands more sacrifice. Makes sense. But don't tell me that married people have an easier life. No. Can married people have a hard life? And can widows have an easier life? Sure. But then, if they have an easier life, they better examine their consciences on why. Side two. I can't quite use it. A parish by my house had a liturgical dance for the first time last Thursday. It was done by a nun before the gospel. What is the church's position on liturgical dance? It is no. I think I have, at least in the big dictionary, maybe in the smaller one too, dance, either one there, dance or liturgical. And even a document I think I quote. Some of us have not received our catechist training course. Would it make sense to stock a supply locally? Yes. But as I say, and I know what, you know, what has been going on. So I'm doing this, call it piecemeal. The Heavy Ignatian Catechist should take the course and not just wait for the meetings here to take, because then you're not even taking the course. I'm giving you the answer. I have to use the word, then you're cheating. So, yes, now I will in time get questionnaires around to those of you, you know, who want to become Ignatian catechists. And the women that have not received for the Marian catechist will receive. And I'm getting feedback from them. You mentioned once that, quotes, only convinced people are courageous, unquote. If I know I am not courageous, how do I become convinced totally of my faith so that I might become courageous? Oh, deepen your faith. How do you do it? Here's why you do it. Number one, you grow in your understanding. What does my faith mean? Nobody is committed to words. They can only be committed to ideas. For many people, their faith is words. And you know the definition of these big words. So first, understand what your faith means. Secondly, make sure that your faith is clear. And one way to make sure that your faith is clear is to clarify it. Clean it up. What do you mean, clear it up? Look, you cannot read everything readable, watch everything watchable, and keep your faith clear. No other people's faith becomes confused. And I'm being very kind. The dumb bunnies. It's dumb. You don't put ideas contrary to the faith on your mind. You just don't. I was a priest over the years. And this goes back. I've been priest 45 years. And I just can tell you, honestly, for me to read some of these really learned heretics, for a long time, I never would read John Calvin without first saying a prayer before I read him. He's just very intelligent. It's sheer intellectual pride to think you can read, for example, Richard McBrien or Hans Kuhn. Or Skillebex, or should I give him credit? Who is the famous Chicago newspaper writer, a Catholic priest?
Greeley?
Yeah, Greeley. Now, for most intelligent people, Greeley is no problem, no temptation. You follow me? He's not intelligent enough himself. When he was teaching in the seminary, he told me he was at best a C student. You follow me? You want to become more courageous? You've got to watch what you put on your mind. But I can take it. Well, you can take it into your mind, like you take cyanide into your mouth. But that has effects. And the people you associate with. But they're my friends. You ask me how you can... Count to 30. It's probably going to warm up. If you want to become more courageous by being more convinced, you've got to live your faith and become more convinced. You've got to share the faith, because only convinced people will share. Other people turn you off. And the hardest part of all, to become more convinced, you've got to suffer for your faith. If you don't know how you can suffer with your faith, call me up. Can you explain the difference between the doctrine of the double effect in moral theology and the doctrine that we may not do evil, that good may result? You know, basically, the principle of the double effect means that What you do is morally good. It's morally good. But it has a double effect. It has a good effect and it has a bad effect. maybe do, where we know it had a bad effect. Yes. Either we know it'll have, say, a bad effect. For example, as a priest, like the time that I told you on a Sunday morning when I told the congregation that I never thought I'd be privileged to speak in the holiest parish in the United States. You will all come to communion. Yesterday I was every confessions. I counted 11 people all afternoon and evening came to confession. Well, I can safely see that it had a bad effect on some people. But there was a good effect. You follow me? In other words, and I could talk more about it, what I do, however, must itself be morally good. This evening, you answered number 19. Our risen bodies will still be able to suffer pain as false. After the last day, won't the damned in hell have risen bodies, and will they be suffering pain? Well, okay. By the way, I'm really pleased to get questions or objections like this. I call them objections. I used to teach in my own Jesuits. The standard meaning of a risen body is risen as a glorified body. So, yes, my friend. Okay. Again, this red eye. I have been told that the Archdiocese of Detroit requires new catechist teachers to take courses in which they are taught about the changes in the church. One change was that hell is not only where the devil is, but more so where God is not. Is this true? No. Does this contradict church's teaching? Sure. If God was not in hell, there wouldn't be a hell. God is everywhere. And it is 8:30 plus. Yes. Listen, I'm sorry. A little darker red, I can read it, but I can't quite read it. Shall we? So then, Lord willing, I should be in Detroit then next Wednesday. We have a big patch on the eye. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let's pray real hard for the elections, by the way. Pray with all your heart, because God knows the future of our country depends on Tuesday's elections. That's what all of Europe, and in fact the Holy Father too,